This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled, What Do You Have?, was delivered on June 13th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Pray, and all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wald. You're so red today.
Yeah.
Hey, I see Marsha. All the way from California. She joins us online. She's actually here in person today. Well, good morning and thank you for joining us. And Nissa, how good to see you. Welcome, everyone. It's been a while, yeah, since I've been up here. And I know you guys never miss me, right? Because it's part of my job is to work myself out of a job, right? It's to get to equip other people to come up here because I don't want you to become a Scott follower. I want you to become a God follower, right? I want you guys to follow God. So it's like when I'm not up here, like, oh, no, because the word of God is being preached anyway. Amen? So it's been a while, and thank you for all those who spoke, gave me the break. And it was, yeah, I think that was the longest break I ever had from speaking in the entire 13 years I've been here. It was 3 weeks. Like, whew. Like, yeah, it was maybe good for you, yeah? Yeah? Hey, so today's message came out of one of my devotions a few months ago, and I thought this would be interesting to share. And what do you have? You know, if you ever, have you ever taken inventory of, you know, if you work in a retail store every so often, you got every year you take inventory, right? You know, when I was at Ace Hardware, they made me count the nuts and bolts. Seriously. Oh. Like Pastor Aaron said, I was grumbling and complaining. Like, that's like, no. But if you, you know, taking inventory of your life, what you have, how many friends you have. Maybe you have multiple houses, cars. Maybe you, like, check how many friends you have on Facebook or Instagram. I don't really do that, and I don't really care, but, you know, how much food you have in your house, maybe you take inventory, how much cases of water you got because of hurricane season, or how many of you count, like, yeah, I get like 20 cans of Spam in my house because I need it, or, you know, you take inventory of maybe your clothes. I got 6 pairs of boots, I know that, yeah, or maybe slippers, or how many computers do you have? How many TVs do you have? How much handbags you have? How much fishing poles, coolers, boats? You know, do you have running water? How many of you got multiple refrigerators and freezers? Yeah, I only got one. I used to have two, but one broke, so I didn't need to buy another one. What about inventory of, like, your skills? You have skills? Can you do this? Can you do that? You have a brain to think so that you can go to work and do a job. Maybe you have a brain that's good enough to solve problems. My brain doesn't work mathematically. I really struggle with math. And, you know, Scott right here is a math teacher, so I, like, wow, I give you credit, because when I try to build things and I try to measure, I have to measure like 5 times and I still make mistakes because I couldn't figure out, you know, how to divide an opening so that I could have 3 equal spaces. You know, you have this, how many of you have the skill to drive? I know there are plenty out there who don't, but they drive anyway and they always end up in front of me. Am I the only one? And my wife rides with me and says, this only happens to you. It always happens, you know. You have the brain enough to go to the bank to borrow money if you need money. How many of you have the ability or the skill to cook? Yeah? We have some great cooks here, right? Uncle Ted, oh, awesome soup. If you ever had the soup, tell Uncle Ted, oh, pork mustard cabbage soup. Never need watercress. Forget the watercress. We don't like watercress anyway. We had green stuff in there, though. That was good. I mean, you know, do you have the ability to tie your shoelace, comb your hair, put on makeup? Maybe you have the skill. You know, when I first started at New Hope Hilo, Pastor Steve, he set me up with a computer that he built. And I couldn't find the on button. But I couldn't tell him, where's the on button? That would be pretty sad, yeah, if you never knew how to turn on a computer. And I couldn't figure out where the on. It took me like a while. But I started pushing all these buttons, and finally one of them made it go on. Like, you know, can you read? Can you tell time? You know, if we took inventory of the things we have, not just the possessions, but the things that we can do, our resources, I bet you it would fill up a notebook. And so, like I said, today's message came from my devotions a few months ago, and it stirred up a lot of questions as to what this word means in Matthew 13 and Matthew 25 and Luke 19. It's the word has. In Matthew 13, 12, Jesus says this, whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. So I was thinking, like, that was my scripture. It's like, what is my observation? Whoever has what? You know, you're right? Whoever has. That's the first thing. Whoever has what? God's Spirit, I thought. Responsibility, money, understanding. And Jesus used parables to hide some of the truth from the people who would not listen to the Holy Spirit. And so here, this scripture, I was studying in the has, and I was looking in my concordance, and I came up with this. The word has here is an ability. So, okay, whoever has ability to do what? Sometimes I ask too much questions, yeah? What is has? Ability to do what? What? Ability to understand Christ? Ability to do his will? And I believe that the has means that we are responsible to use the ability he gave us to serve God. How many of you know that God gave you the ability and the skill to do what you do? To drive a car? I wish he would give everybody that skill. You know, to do math. I missed that class, that when he was passing out the ability to do math. You know, the ability to solve problems. And so my application is, over the years of serving God, he has given me more of many things. Because if I thought about when I first started coming to church, you know, I couldn't do much of anything skillfully, solve problems, build cabinets, preach. I couldn't read well. I couldn't do a lot of things. And I think over the years, he has given me more. I can read better because I read the Bible more. I can build wood stuff better. I can solve more problems. So if I look at it, over the years, he has really made this scripture come true. And so my prayer was, Lord, whatever you have meant here by the word has, may I steward it well, and may you use me to help others do the same. So that's how this message came about. And as I began to study this, I understood that there were other places in the Bible that use the same words that were used here. So this morning, I wanted to explore the word has to us so that we can steward it well, so that it won't be taken away. You heard that saying, use it or
lose it.
Yeah. How many of you, as you got older, you got weaker? Because you don't use your muscles as much. Yeah. You know, before I would go to the hardware store, pick up a sheet of 3/4-inch plywood like nothing, and throw it on my pipe rack. I could even actually pick up my pipe rack off my truck and carry it off myself. I was like, really, I did? No, not even, because I haven't used my muscles enough. So here it is, number one, ability. Matthew 13:12, the has, I believe it means ability. So whoever has, to him or shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Oh, that'd be cool, yeah? We use what we get, and we get more. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away. You know, whoever has, and Jesus is saying that you are responsible to use the gift and skills that God has given you. You know, it's like muscles. If you don't use it, you become weaker. They become ineffective. You ever do something different and it's like you sore the next day because you haven't used that muscle in a long time? If I ran a mile today, tomorrow I probably would be sore. If you heard me do a sermon 15 years ago, you might say I've gotten a little better. Not much, but just a little. You know, when James first joined the worship team, he was good. But you might say he was a little reserved. But now, after doing it, wow, he has become much, much better. You look at Al, who plays an awesome guitar. Do you think he just picked up the guitar and just batted out songs like that? I don't think so. But now, he picks up a guitar and he can just play songs off the top of his head. He has used the gift that God gave him, and therefore God has blessed him with more. Maybe he started remembering one song, and probably now he probably has 50 or 100 songs that he can play. He's that good. The ability he has given, he used. Maybe some of you have technical skills, musical skills, teaching skills, cooking skills. And by the way, cooks, they have a lot of friends. They have a lot of friends. Just like painters and mechanics, they have a lot of friends. Yeah. Are you using those skills to build God's kingdom? Or are you kind of hiding them, trying to, you know, fly under the radar? So here's the thing. I don't think and I don't believe that we could use being shy as an excuse. How many of you consider yourself shy? I see one, two, the rest of you lying. Really? Seriously, so those of you who are not raising your hand, I could call you up here right now and read a scripture for me. You, no problem. It's only a few people I know who say, yeah, I'll do it. I don't think you could use shy as an excuse. When I was in the 11th grade, I had speech. It was a requirement. The first quarter, I got an F because I could not go up in front of my peers and say a word. I was too shy. So every time it was my turn, I cut class. That's how shy I was. And look what God is doing now. Don't you think God has a sense of humor? He's like, ha, 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 I fix you, Shiroma. I didn't want to study. He makes me study every week. So I don't think you could use shy as an excuse. So be careful, because what you're shying away from, he might take it away. So Matthew 13:12, whoever has ability, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has, ability, shall be taken away. Number two, Matthew 25:29, I believe it's talking about attitude. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. It's like almost exactly the same. And this parable, Jesus described the consequences of two attitudes towards Christ's return. The person who persistently prepares for Christ's return by investing their time and talents to serve God will be rewarded. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew 25. And this would have not fit in the bulletin. So it's not on your bulletin. And that's why I really would like you guys to bring your Bibles. Or if you have your phones, how many of you have a Bible app? There you go. No excuse. So in Matthew 25, and if you go back to verse 14, it goes like this. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then we go down to 22. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew what I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. So, I believe here, this parable describes the two attitudes of us, God giving us something, and upon his return, he's going to ask what we did with what we were given. The last person, he had no heart to invest what was given to him to do the work that the master had gave him to do. And, you know, I really believe that God will reward people for their faithfulness. Those who bear no fruit for God's kingdom, what do you think they can expect? Can they be treated the same as those who use what they have and invested, those who are faithful? The last guy was thinking of himself. He hoped to play it safe, protect himself. Man, if you read the Bible, you read about these disciples that served him, there was no such thing as playing it safe. If you were following him, when they were following Jesus for those 3 years, man, and even when he left, they were persecuted. I mean, you read the Old Testament, some of the Old Testament prophets, if you look at the Book of Martyrs, some of them were sawn in half. It's kind of gruesome for following Christ. Sawn in half for following God. Some were burned. You ever tried to make an excuse to avoid doing work? Yes. Yeah, a few weeks ago I had a cut on my finger. Oh, I cannot wash the rice because of my finger. So I cannot wash the dishes because I can't cut and it hurts. You know, a little cut on your... Hello, you know they made such thing as gloves? Right? Since the pandemic, how many of you have gloves in your house? Right? How many of you have gloves in your garage when you work on your car? Gloves? But, you know, I have a cut on my finger. What a sissy. Huh? Oh. Making excuses. Yeah, this morning my back was sore. Made excuses, so they set up and they lifted everything. I was on light duty this morning. We cannot make excuses to do what God has called us to do. If God is truly our master, and we call him Lord, and we call him Savior, we need to willingly, joyfully obey him. We should consider ourselves as caretakers, not owners. When we ignore, squander, or abuse what we are given, maybe you can call that rebellious. And we deserve to be disciplined. When Jesus Christ returns, will he find you persistently, diligently working to save the lost? Or is he going to find you just chilling by the pool, your big hat, cocktail, just relaxing, enjoying this beautiful Hawaiian weather? Are you going to be like that first servant who had what the master gave him and he multiplied it? Or are you going to be like that last guy who had what the master gave him and he just kind of kept it the same? No adding, no taking away. When he comes back, it's going to be too late to get up and try and start doing the work. Yeah? You ever procrastinate playing solitaire on your computer? The boss walks in, oh, change the screen, quick. Make like you're working. It's too late. And the third one, Luke 19:26, I believe he's talking about money. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. It's like same words again. Now, I believe this parable talks about money in Luke 19, verses 12 to 27. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called his 10 slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, your mina has made 5. Minas, and said to him also, you are to be over 5 cities. Another saying, Master, your mina, which I kept, I put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you not know that I am an exacting man? Take what I did not lay down, reap what I did not sow. Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that everyone who has more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. So the message paraphrase, the message note says the king was really harsh on this guy who had not increased his money. He punished the man because he didn't share in the master's interest in the kingdom. He didn't trust the master's intentions. And his only concern was for himself. And he did nothing to use the money. Like the king in this story, God has given you gifts for the benefit of the kingdom. Do you have a desire for the kingdom to grow? Do you trust God to govern it fairly? And the thing is, are you concerned for the welfare of others? Or are you more concerned about your welfare? Are you willing to use faithfully what God has entrusted to you? So here's the challenge. Take inventory of what you have and ask God, how can I use this in such a way that I am not wasting it or squandering it? I call each of you to action today. How can I use what I have to expand the kingdom? Like Fred a few weeks ago, he said, I bought a chainsaw to cut the trees around my house. I cut the trees around my house. Now I have this chainsaw. What do I do with it? He said, well, you can start at this house. And he took action. He went and he trimmed the bushes. And there's a whole bunch more. And we're going to schedule a day when we all can do it, when my back gets better. And we'll go cut the rest. We got painting in the parking lot, filling cracks. We got so much things we got to do. But what do you have? What has God given you? What ability has he given you? What attitude? What finances that he has given you that you can use so that when he comes back, he'll tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you really want to hear that one day? I mean, I would love to hear that. So he has given us a bunch. Man, if you take inventory, I guarantee you, you have a lot. I told myself, if I had to move houses, I would probably need more than a 40-foot container. And that's just for my tools. Seriously, because I've been faithful and I do things with my tools, not just for me, but to help others, people sometimes pay me in tools. It's like, I need another tool. Right, yes, I do, so I can serve another person. Or if somebody needs one, they can borrow. No problem. It's not mine anyway, right? Belongs to God. So I challenge you to use what God has given you to expand his kingdom. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to pray. So would you bow your heads? You know, we haven't done this in a while, and maybe somebody out there needs just to say yes to Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I want to give you, not only those of you who are in person here, but those of you who may be out on Facebook, I want to give you the chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And you would just pray with me this prayer. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? I cannot see you on Facebook, I'm sorry, but if you did, just send me a message that you did, that you received Jesus, so that we can pray for you and we can help you with your walk with the Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for giving us these abilities, these attitudes, these finances. And I pray that we would use them to further your kingdom. And when we are faithful, Lord, we know that you would bless us with so much more. And we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand? And we are going to close this service with another song. And you listen to the talents of these guys singing and playing, because God is going to bless them with more talent and abilities.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Good to have you back. I praise God for the talents and abilities that he's given this man to serve with us. Yeah? We are truly blessed. Well, as for me and my house, let's go out serving the Lord this morning.
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.